Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. We're going to have a very interesting discussion today, and once again, it's being prompted by something written in USA Today, in the On Religion column today. Stephen Prothero of Boston University levels a response to the controversy that has followed Newsweek's cover story, The Decline and Fall of Christian America, since I was pretty much at the center of that controversy. Stephen Prothero brings me back into it today at USA Today. He basically takes on my comments from Newsweek magazine and responds with a very different argument. And I think his argument's right, by the way. I also think that what I said was right. I asked the question in my commentary posted today at albertmohler.com, so with whom do I agree, Stephen Prothero or myself? And the answer is, I think we're both right. I think we're talking about two different things. But I think Stephen Prothero's onto some really interesting stuff here. I mean, he says, look, if you're asking the question, is America a Christian nation? Well, only Christians would think that it's not. He says, if you're Jewish or Hindu or Muslim or just about anything else, you better believe America's a Christian nation. Well, he's talking about it in what we might call sociological terms. I want to talk about Christianity in theological terms. It's going to be an interesting conversation because I think it gets to some of the crucial issues right at the center of so much controversy. I'm a little surprised that the Newsweek cover stories had such a massive kind of wake of conversation. And yet, I'll tell you, it's probably a good thing. And there is more to come on this front, just in terms of understanding the landscape around us. And, of course, some people looking at it are saying, I'm concerned with what this means politically. I'm concerned with what this means culturally. I'm, first of all, concerned with what this means spiritually, theologically, what it means in terms of seeing America as a mission field. Well, the Pew Forum on American Religious Life is out, and it's got another big study that is just released today, embargoed until noon today. It's on religious switching. And what you have here is pretty much further data that substantiates what we have known. Well, there is a lot of switching going on. The Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life is now suggesting that a sizable percentage of Americans have indeed shifted their affiliation from one faith to another. Now, one of the questions is, does this mean merely a denomination? You know, is this switching from Lutheran to Presbyterian or from Baptist to Methodist? No, this is really a much more significant kind of shift that is going on here. The key findings of the report released today are that people often give their basic reason for changing religion is that, they didn't think their spiritual needs were being met, or they liked another faith more, or they changed their views on religious or moral beliefs. I find the fact that that last issue is listed last as really interesting. The truth question appears to be last in the sequence. In other words, as a theologian, I would have to insist that the first issue, in terms of whether I am what I am or be something else, is what I believe to be true. What I believe to be true about God, what I believe to be true about my need, what I believe to be true about what provision has been made for me. And I'm a Christian not because I find that I would first say my spiritual needs are being met. They certainly are. I would say that I am a Christian, first of all, because I believe that it's true. And I think it says something about America that when the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life comes out with a story on religious switching, the truth issue seems to be, well, something less than the first concern. Now, it is interesting, however, that two of three Catholics who became unaffiliated and half of all who became Protestants said they left their church because they, quote, stopped believing its teachings, end quote. That's interesting. I'd like to know a little bit more about what's really going on there. You also have the report coming out, USA Today reports on this study, saying that life circumstances, not religious doctrinal differences, prompt most Protestants who switch denominational families. Well, I think I can understand that, probably because when it comes to a lot of these denominations in terms of the identification, sometimes the local congregations are more alike than dislike. Let me be specific. A conservative Baptist congregation has more in common with a conservative Presbyterian congregation than either of them would have with the liberal denomination, a church in their own denomination. So that makes sense to me. If I'm a conservative Baptist and I moved to a community, and the Baptist church there is liberal, but there's a conservative Presbyterian church. Well, I'm still going to have big issues, but I can understand where people that don't have a deep theological understanding would have their first instinct to be about the gospel. And I think that's the right first instinct. But when you start looking at this, you realize that for a lot of people, this is just a statement that they kind of find themselves where they are rather than by intention. And of course, in so many of our churches and denominations, we've lowered the doctrinal barrier so low that there are an awful lot of Baptists who wouldn't know why we don't, for instance, baptize infants. And there might be, on the other hand, some Presbyterians who don't know why they do. And so you probably have here some switching going on among people who don't even notice much when they switch. You know, if neither church talks much about its doctrine, then you're not going to get, many people are going to switch because of the doctrine. Other issues that came out in the study indicate that immigrant churches are certainly losing their hold upon their historic populations. That makes sense. As populations assimilate within the larger American culture, you can understand why these ethnic churches, deeply rooted in, for instance, whether it could be German Catholicism or Lutheranism for that matter, or Irish or Italian Catholicism, why, when assimilation takes place, those bonds seem also to be breaking. It's an interesting study, but it's just as valuable as whatever the numbers add up to be, which is to say that we don't do church by the numbers. We don't do theology by the numbers. We actually don't have a deeply theological and spiritual understanding of the mission field before us because of the numbers. We have it because of the people. And this means that far more important than these surveys is actual contact with actual people within a community. And I hope that's where churches are. I hope that's where churches are giving their primary attention, rather than just going from one survey to the next. Big news in the Presbyterian Church USA, the bid to change the policy of the denomination so that they would ordain openly homosexual clergy has failed, but it made big gains over its last attempt. The Associated Press is reporting that due to votes that were tallied on Saturday, this effort has failed again, but the margin of defeat is guaranteed to be much closer than in previous years. Supporters of gay clergy suggest that this is a representing movement in their direction, and I think they're probably almost surely right. I think what you're going to see in denominations that abandon a very clear biblical understanding of sexuality, it all becomes negotiable. And once it becomes negotiable, I can guarantee you, year after year, it's going to move more in the direction away from Scripture. Before Saturday, the total was 68 presbyteries for the change, 86 presbyteries opposed. And they only needed one more presbytery opposed for defeat, and that came on Saturday. Eric Gorski, writing for the Hartford Courant, points out that the margin of defeat in the 2.3 million member denomination is giving those who are pushing for the removal of what is known as the fidelity and chastity provision a great deal of encouragement. That's very interesting in and of itself. Lori Goodstein is out with a very interesting article at the New York Times. The title of it tells you a great deal. More atheists shout it from the rooftops. She writes, even in South Carolina, home to Bob Jones University, more than ever, America's atheists are linking up and speaking out. What is really fascinating about Lori Goodstein's article is that she points out that the atheists are now borrowing the strategy of the gay rights movement, which, she explains, lifted off when closeted members of a scorned minority decided to go public. End quote. Herb Silverman, a math professor at the College of Charleston there in South Carolina, said, "It's not about carrying banners or protesting. The most important thing is coming out of the closet." Now, the closet, by the way, evidently includes still a fairly small number of atheists or agnostics that are at least willing to declare themselves atheists or agnostics. When it comes to American religious life, the non-believers of that kind of clear rejectionism are relatively few in number. Far larger in number of people who appear to be absolutely uncertain about the big questions of life. At my website at albertmiller.com, I posted the article this morning in response to Steve Prothrow at USA Today. The title of my article is "Not Even Close, Is America Becoming a Post-Christian Culture?" We're going to talk about that on the program today. I think you're going to find Stephen Prothrow's arguments very, very interesting. But also on my website today, I published an article, a book review, on the evolution of Catholicism. It's a review of Richard P. McBrien's book, The Church, The Evolution of Catholicism. At the close of this hour, I'm going to make some comments from this book, really pointing to where, as evangelicals, we need to pay heed to the issues going on in the Catholic Church. In many ways, they're the same issues in a parallel form to those going on in our own denominations. There's no way to understand what it means to be an evangelical without understanding the teachings of the Catholic Church. Richard McBrien is a liberal observer and historian of all things Catholic. You're going to hear a little bit of what he has to say about this at the conclusion of the program today. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the USA Today piece published just this morning by Stephen Prothero. We're going to be talking about what it means to ask the question, is America a Christian nation? The big issue is, just how do we define Christian? We'll be right back.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. First of all, let me just say a hats off to a couple of major media organs that are really giving some serious attention to religion in America. What we have in the secularization of this country is the virtual evacuation of content coverage in any thoughtful manner of American Christianity in particular. But Newsweek magazine, you may dislike what they write. I often disagree with what they write. But Newsweek magazine is doing some very serious coverage of Christianity in America. Time magazine from time to time has done the same. I appreciate the fact that those news magazines are giving serious attention. At one time, U.S. News and World Report also was giving some very serious attention to these issues, a little less so recently. But USA Today is doing a very good job of at least getting the issues out there. Its On Religion column has been very important. Kathy Lynn Grossman, their religion editor and writer, has done a very good job of putting a lot of good, thoughtful material out there. And what is really noticeable is how few major media organs are really doing this. Most media organizations have turned to other issues. And I think it's good to have this conversation ongoing, not just because I think the media attention to American Christianity is important for publicity. I think it's important to understand the kind of conversation that's going on in this country. And it can help us to understand how we best give witness to Christ when we understand the kinds of questions that people are asking, the kind of assumptions that they are bringing to these conversations. Steve Prothero is a professor at Boston University, not only a professor, but he's chairman of the department there. And he's responded to the controversy in Newsweek magazine after the cover story of April 13th on the decline and fall of Christian America. Now, I was a major part of that article. As a matter of fact, Newsweek editor John Meacham writes in the piece, the cover story, which was inside and entitled The End of Christian America, he writes that he was prompted to write his article after he'd read one that I had written on what it meant for America to enter a post-Christian condition. Now, let me just back up a moment and say that language is not particularly new. It's not new in 1999 or in 2009. That's the kind of language that came, especially in the 1970s and 80s, with regard not to America but to Europe, with the recognition that something of lightning speed and tremendous consequence had taken place right after World War II, when Europe, that had been the very cradle of what you would call a Christian civilization, had been transformed into a largely secular culture in the process of less than a generation, the span of less than, say, 20 or 30 years. It's a lightning pace of change. So it is now recognized that much of Europe is now in a situation that is probably best described as post-Christian, which is to say Christianity once formed the grand understanding of life in these countries. Christianity was once that reference point that everyone had to keep in mind when thinking about truth and meaning, when thinking about morality and values and all the rest, the life from birth to death, and it simply is no longer the case. We've had some very interesting and thoughtful Christians really at work on this question. The question has been, how do we give witness to the gospel in a land where the gospel has been tried, you might say, and abandoned? It's been left behind. And in Europe, it was being left behind for some very negative reasons. The secularization there was not just some kind of neutral, say, sociological development. It came because so many people in Europe rejected Christianity. Now, this leads to some very interesting questions about America right now, because where Europe was, say, 30 years ago is where at least some portions of America are right now. That's why there's so much media attention to these recent reviews and surveys and polls. It's because when you look at the Pacific Northwest, and now even more emphatically, the American Atlantic Northeast, what you're looking at are areas that are basically European in terms of their secularized culture. The question that Newsweek magazine asked me is what this means for America to be increasingly in this kind of post-Christian condition. I responded, I stand by my comments. I would even expand upon my comments in the very same direction I made them. Steve Prothero comes out now in USA Today to suggest that this assumption or analysis isn't even close to the truth. In fact, that's the title of his article, Not Even Close. That's the headline of his response. Prothero is a very keen observer of religion in American life. He's the chair of the Department of Religion at Boston University, as we have said. He's also the author of a book that has gotten a lot of attention. The book's titled Religious Literacy, What Every American Needs to Know and Doesn't. Steve Prothero is one of those professors who enjoys making sure his students get it right. And as he sees it, Newsweek magazine got it wrong. Because as he wants emphatically to state, America is not becoming a secular nation. Now, he's looking at the fact that even though there has been a rise in the number of persons who identify as having no religious affiliation, there's been a decline in the number of people that identify themselves as being Christian, he says, look, America is still very much a Christian culture. He doesn't mean that in the unitary sense of, say, Islam in Saudi Arabia. He means it in the overwhelming majoritarian sense. The vast majority of Americans think of themselves as Christians. He says, look, only Christians or the ignorant would wonder if America's a Christian nation, he says, because, well, look, Christmas is a national holiday. Passover isn't. You know, we don't have Muslim holidays off as federal holidays, but Christmas is. He makes the point, look at America's politicians. Americans elect Christians. The vast majority of America's office holders are Christians. Very few of them, indeed, are atheists. As a matter of fact, one member of Congress, as I understand it, has officially declared himself to be an atheist. Pete Stark of California received an award from an atheist organization because they were looking for one. They finally found one. Well, you know, I'm going to grant Stephen Prothero every point he makes, even though he takes on my comments. And by the way, he actually cites my comments in Newsweek magazine, at least some of them. And he comes back behind to disagree with me. He does so in a very, very clear way. And he says that my comments were more, quote, timeless rhetoric, end quote, than timely analysis. What does he mean by that? He says, look, he said evangelicals are always prone to see kind of the sky falling in terms of American Christianity. He says it goes all the way back more or less to the Mayflower and the Pilgrims. Well, there's some truth in that. And in fact, my comments do sound rather elegiac and obviously statements of deep concern. But what Stephen Prothero doesn't understand is that my concern is not so much with the cultural influence of Christianity. And my concern is not with whether or not Christmas is a national holiday. My concern is with whether people know Christ in a saving way. The issue for me is the gospel. That's very different. When I'm talking about a post-Christian America, I'm not talking about an America where a majority of people no longer consider themselves Christians. I'm talking about an America where Christianity has been defined in such minimalist terms that some of our own churches are post-Christian. There's an abandonment of historical Christianity, and that's my concern. And all you have to do is look to, well, for even the institution where Stephen Prothero teaches, Boston University, established many, many years ago by Methodists, and now basically a secular institution. You might say it's a post-Christian institution. Its worldview and ideology is now overwhelmingly secular. I think we need to know this. Not so that we can just look at it and offer our lament, but so that we can recognize we've got an incredible evangelistic challenge in this nation. We've got an incredible evangelistic opportunity. As a matter of fact, as I told Newsweek magazine, the fact that an increasing number of Americans know that they are not Christians is something of a gain for us. I'm not concerned with keeping our numbers high. I'm concerned with reaching people with the gospel. If your concern is reaching people with the gospel, it's often very, very helpful to talk to a person who knows he isn't a Christian, rather than to one who's confused about what Christianity is. We're in very interesting days. I'd love to know what you're thinking about this. Perhaps you saw Stephen Prothero's article, or you've been a part of this conversation. Join us now. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK, coast to coast. And with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We've got callers on the line. You could be next. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. When you ask the question, is America a Christian nation? Or was America a Christian nation? I don't think you can answer that yes or no until you define what Christian means. Maybe also what nation means, but I think the really contested issue here is Christian. If you mean that Christianity formed the mentality and that the vast majority of Americans consider themselves Christian, absolutely. Did it mean that they consider themselves Christian rather than, say, something else? Absolutely. Did that mean that they were regenerate believers in Christ? I don't think that when you actually get to it, many of them, let's put it this way, many of them did not claim to be. And certainly those numbers are far lower. I think it's going to be really, really interesting to have this conversation. Let's go to Howard, Pennsylvania, where Dan's listening on WTLR. What are you thinking, Dan?
My comment, Dr. Mohler, is this. I'm wondering if the whole issue really is not even an issue, because in my study and recently having looked at some of this, was that the signers of the Constitution would not even, many of them, would not even have declared themselves Christians. There was this great debate about the deity of Christ. Now, they would have been very much for godly morals, but not necessarily Christian. In fact, if you look at the vast majority of Americans declaring themselves as, quote, Christians, didn't happen until the first Great Awakening. And I guess my concern is trying to nationalize Christianity and why churches aren't taking a broader worldview and not trying to nationalize Christianity and rather thinking about people rather than nations, because other than Israel, which was God's, of course, chosen people, there has never been a time when he has tried to, if I can use that term, nationalize Christianity.
Yeah, it's a very good series of points you made there, Dan. We're certainly not called to try to create a Christian America in the sense of a unitary state. Instead, we are called to be a people of the gospel that call persons to Christ. And so would I love to see every single American come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Of course I would. And in that sense, that's the only sense in which I think it would make sense for America to be a Christian nation. It is interesting, however, that, as you say, this is kind of a false or artificial issue. It may be, but it's a big issue in terms of media concern right now and our public conversation. And, Dan, I'll tell you the way I think evangelical Christians play into this, and that is that we often have taken an incredible assurance in numbers that we now know not to be true. And I'll tell you, I think it's true for denominations. I think there are denominations that have said, look, we're huge, we're influential, we're big, look at our numbers. And now the numbers are shifting. And again, that doesn't tell us a thing about the church in terms of where we are to be, what we are to do, what we are to preach. It just tells us that the cultural presence of Christianity, the number of Americans who would just reflexively say, I'm a Christian, that number is lower. And I think, by the way, for the sake of the gospel, that can be a gain rather than a loss. Because I think if we think that people around us are Christians just because they have some vague, Christian answer that they're going to click off on a survey, then we're failing in our evangelistic task. We do not get to heaven by identifying ourselves as Christians to a poll taker. We come to heaven and the gift of everlasting life and peace with God and are made right with God on the basis of faith in Christ. And that's a very different thing. Dan, thanks for your call. It's great to hear from you there in Pennsylvania. Let's go to Sellersburg, Indiana. Doug's listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Doug.
Hi, Dr. Mohler. Thanks for taking my call. Back before you went to the break, you made a comment that I agreed very much with, and that was that I think there's tremendous advantage in us knowing the people around us, or having them know that they're, whether they're Christian or not. And there's a huge distinctive here I think we need to make. And your last caller kind of pointed this out. We're not a Christian nation, but the desire should be for us to be a nation full of Christians. And in order for us to do that, we have to figure out what it's going to take to make sure people understand the true nature of Christianity. In other words, Christianity is who I am. It's not what I do.
Yes, and it's, first of all, what we believe to be true. You know, that we are told that that we are justified by faith on the basis of on the ground of what Christ has done for us in his atonement. And we are told that even as we are saved by grace through faith, that that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Thus, we've got to articulate the Christian gospel. And Doug, I appreciate your concern for evangelism here, because that's the issue. Having persons who know enough to say that I'm just a Christian to a survey taker, that doesn't mean that they've ever heard the gospel. And by that, I mean really hearing it with the heart and obeying it, responding to Christ, which is exactly our goal, our purpose. That's the Great Commission in a nutshell, right where we are planted. The phone number is 877-893-825. Back with more calls when we come right back.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. Once again, we want to invite you to follow us at Twitter and Facebook. If you are using social media, we're always glad to hear from you. Just write us, email us at mail@albertmohler.com. I'm having a lot of fun with Twitter and Facebook, and in particular, Twitter, you can just sign up an unlimited number of followers. Facebook's got some limitations, but an unlimited number of followers can follow on Twitter. And I have a good time during the day directing people to different news events, thoughts, just to really sharing some information, photographs, and all the rest. You can go to Twitter.com, sign up, and just follow Albert Mohler. It's just one word, no space, Albert, M-O-H-L-E-R. You can also follow the radio program. At Mohler Radio. There are more tweets coming out at the Albert Mohler thread rather than at the program, but you're invited to sign up for both. It's a fun thing, and I'm really enjoying the conversation I have with listeners to this program and readers of the materials we post at the site, the articles I write during the week, respondents to interviews, media appearances, and all the rest, even responses to books. I've had several people respond to my books and different arguments. I've had some really great questions, and it's just a very affirming thing to know of an intelligent listening and reading audience. You know, this is the place we say again and again for intelligent Christian conversation, and I love to hear from you. So let me hear, and you can write us again at mail@albertmohler.com, sign up at Twitter, especially sign up to follow the thread, Albert Mohler. At the Twitter site, in response to today's topic, Mark wrote to say that asking the question about America becoming a post-Christian culture is basically to point to what he calls the great hope of the liberal elite and atheists everywhere. Well, evidently some very keen minds think alike. Stephen Prothero, writing at USA Today, says that when people start really writing a great deal about these changes in American religious affiliation, he said the atheists get very excited because, well, let me just read to you what he said here, because I think he encapsulates it very well. If you're really trying to get to the heart of what's going on here, he points out that the new atheists are really very antagonistic, and their antagonism really comes through. That's what shines through. And as he makes very clear, if you start adding all that up, what it really comes down to is something like wishful thinking on the part of atheists. I want to quote to you exactly what he says here. He says the new so-called atheists, or the so-called new atheists, want to see Christianity on the retreat because to them, religion is poisonous idiocy. All right, fair and honest statement there. You know what? I even appreciate that. Because if some atheist rejected Christianity and said, I find it just a little bit distasteful, I'd wonder what in the world he meant. If some atheist said, I come really close to it, to believing, but I'm now absolutely sure it's not true, I think they really weren't thinking very clearly. I mean, in order to be an atheist, you have to say, that's what theism looks like. I don't believe that. And, you know, this is where I often say to people, to Christians, you know, understand what we're saying here. We're saying that we believe in God. We're also saying that we believe that God has shown us by revealing himself who we are and who we are and what we need and what he's done for us. He's revealed to us an entire system of truth to which we are accountable. And involved in this system of truth are some very clear commands and principles and precepts about how we are to live our lives. And, you know, if there is no God and this is just made up stuff, then we're really interfering with a lot of people's lives. I mean, if there is no God and there is no Christianity and all that we know is false, if God did not reveal himself in his word because he doesn't exist or because he couldn't speak to us, then all this stuff that we do telling people about the life to come and a judgment that's coming and the only means of escape by the gospel of Christ, it's all some kind of charade. It's all a false hope. You know, the Apostle Paul made that point himself. That's the very logic of 1 Corinthians 15, where the Apostle Paul said, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then we're of all people most to be pitied. We're still dead in our sins and trespasses. We believed a lie. But as I'm speaking to you today, I'm absolutely confident that there is a God. Not only that, I'm absolutely confident that he is the God of the Bible, who's revealed himself in his word, inerrantly, infallibly, perfectly, truthfully, so that we do have all the knowledge we need to understand who we are, and first of all, who God is, and thus to see our need as sinners, and to come to understand God's provision for us in Christ. And then there's a whole lot more. Part of what we're looking at in the confusion of this day is that there are a lot of Americans who want to pick and choose what they want to believe. That's very clear in a new study out from Barna. It's very clear in terms of the report we mentioned at the top of the hour, the new analysis coming from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. An awful lot of people are just switching denominations, switching churches, because they say, I don't like it. My needs aren't being met here. When I think emphatically the truth question has to be the first question. We need to be where we believe the truth is known and cherished and taught. Otherwise, we're treating religion just like some kind of hobby or therapy. And I emphatically do not believe that Christianity is merely a hobby or that it is meant to be some kind of therapy. It does do us good as it does well. It saves us, though. It doesn't try to make us a better me or a better you. It tries successfully to completely reset the question. To make very clear that our need as sinners is for an alien righteousness, which is available to us only through Christ. And thus, the gospel slays us. That's the way the old Puritans used to put it. The gospel slays us because it tells us that we are sinners and there's nothing we can do about ourselves. Nothing we can do about the problem. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But it is also the gospel that rescues because it points us directly to the cross of Christ and the empty tomb. And we are told in the scripture itself that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We've had some good calls and a lot of good communication. Also coming in from Twitter is someone who wrote in to say the word Christian has become so warped over the years that it now can mean anything the person calling themselves Christian wants it to mean. It no longer seems to hold any value. Well, Corbin, I understand that. And I'll tell you what, if it was a word we made up, it was a word we could just leave behind. If it was a word that was nothing more than kind of a PR tool. If we just came up with it, if we made it, we can unmake it. If we came up with it, we can abandon it. But the reality is that we are told it was in Antioch that the followers of Jesus, the followers of the way, were first called Christians. I don't see any way around the word. I do, however, accept your point, Corbin. We've got to recapture the word, and the only way to do that is by teaching and preaching the word of God faithfully, without apology, making clear both what the gospel is and what it is not. Good models for that in the New Testament itself. But we're living in an age of really doctrinal disarmament on the part of many churches. Do we have any wonder that their people are confused about what Christianity is? For some of them, they've got no clue. They've never been taught. Others have been mistaught. What we need is a recovery of biblical preaching and authentic ministry. I don't think we should expect anything healthy to happen until we see that. Back with final thoughts. You're listening to the Albert Miller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Miller Program. At the beginning of the hour, I told you that I wanted to refer to a book review that I published on my website at albertmiller.com. It's on a book about Roman Catholicism. The title is The Church, The Evolution of Catholicism. It's by Richard P. McBrien of the University of Notre Dame. I begin my review by saying one cannot understand the theology of the Reformers without first understanding the theology of the Catholic Church in the 16th century. Similarly, an understanding of contemporary Catholicism is necessary for any comprehensive understanding of evangelical identity. While Catholic identity is a contested issue among Roman Catholic theologians and historians, the issues and controversies of modern Catholicism are extremely instructive. That's why I wrote this review of Richard McBrien's book, The Church, Now, there are a couple of very interesting angles on this. Here's one. Richard McBrien is criticized by conservatives in the Roman Catholic Church. He's a rather liberal interpreter. That actually makes it more convenient in this case, because what I wanted to know was how he reads Vatican II. Because as a student of Catholic theology, I wanted to know how he deals with a very important issue that to me is at the very heart of the gospel. And he did not disappoint in terms of leading into controversy here. And let me just read to you this paragraph. He says this: ecclesiology has already begun to respond to this new situation. There is a greater effort now to relate Christianity to the other great religions of the world and to develop new understandings of the availability of salvation, not only outside the Catholic Church, but outside the body of Christ as a whole. Ecclesiology has begun to assume an interfaith as well as an ecumenical character. Well, the quotation that I provide there, the excerpt at albertmiller.com under the heading The Reading List, where I post book reviews, is a bit longer than that, but I hope you felt the shock of hearing a major figure in the Roman Catholic Church and in terms of its academic life say that there's a greater effort now to relate Christianity and to go to new understandings of the availability of salvation. Now listen again, he says, not only outside the Catholic Church, the historic claim that outside the church there's no salvation, meaning the Catholic Church, but he says now, outside the body of Christ as a whole. Okay, what he's saying here, more explicitly than you'll find almost anywhere else, is that there are the Catholic theologians who very clearly, he suggests, the majority, the church itself, is moving in a direction of accepting that persons can be saved, can find salvation outside of the body of Christ, that is, outside the Christian gospel. I think it's important that we understand this controversy in the Catholic Church. I want to tell you why. It's because there are non-Catholics, including some who claim to be evangelicals, who would promote the same kind of subversion of the gospel. We need to look carefully at this and understand what it is. This is a new religion masquerading as Christianity if there is salvation outside the body of Christ. I'll meet you tomorrow for the Albert Miller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.